What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. And we've lowered prices. You can save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and hang on here. I got...
Uh-oh. It's a dead giveaway right there.
It's Untapped and Vinyl. What's up, dude?
After months and months and months.
Y'all thought he was... y'all thought he retired?
Yeah. I did retire from radio, but not from hanging out with my buddy, Al, and doing some beer drinking and... talking about music and randomness.
Been a while.
It has been a while, man. We were thinking, like, when you came in, it was like, I think it's been since November.
We could figure this out real quick. All I have to do is just hop on Porch Talk, because I mean, you know, typically.
Yeah, exactly.
Do an episode and put it right up. But, yeah, man. I've been staying busy, getting everything ready for the festival and...
Yeah.
A lot of overtime, both jobs, and just keeping my
both
nose.
Both jobs. You got two. Mm-hmm. You got the electric job.
And, I'm working Munson's on the weekends.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Still help, that one. Okay.
Help him run the kitchen.
Well, I'm doing good I think I've finally come to the place, you know, because after my stroke, I kind of became a homebody. Because of limited mobility. And I think I've finally found that spot where I'm comfortable with everything, you know? I'm okay hanging out at the house. I don't have to be a social butterfly anymore, you know? Because it killed me for the longest time that I couldn't get out and go places, you know, and do things that I wanted to. Now I think I'm pretty cool. Just me and the cats and my wife, I'm good.
Hell, what more could you ask for?
Right? I know, exactly, man. Hand me the occasional beer and I'm good, you know?
Just yesterday, I worked the electric job, went out for lunch, and I had the rest of the afternoon. I didn't even know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I ain't never got free time up like this. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, in all honesty, that free time, if you're not prepared for it and you get so much of it like I did, I was forced to have it after I quit my job. I mean, it'll overwhelm you, but I think I finally got to the point where it's like, okay, I can handle it.
Man, I'll be calling people I ain't talked to.
Like, bored.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. I'm going to waste some of your time, too.
Yeah. So that's the reason you're here, then.
No, man, this is long overdue.
Yeah, it is.
Had quite a few people been asking about you, and I was like, well, man, let me get on the horn.
It took us a little bit, too.
Yeah.
She was like, I remember one time I texted you, and I said, well, holler at me on Saturday and let me know. And then you said, don't let me forget.
And
you forgot, and I forgot. And we went a whole nother week or two. So
that's like that with Rob, man. I've been wanting to go hang out with him and Bree.
Yeah.
Man, we just cannot get on the same page.
Yeah, right, man, that's the way the world works. You know, life gets in the way, as I've always said.
Yeah. Well, dude, like, just hanging out at the house, man, what you been into? Like, putting on some spinning records? What all you got?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm kind of stuck in a rut. Because I'm not going to say that, or I don't want to promote the fact that I listen to a music delivery service or whatever they call it, you know? But, I mean, I do. I find myself just like going to random like Lucero playlists that have been created for me, and you know, Waxahachie playlist. And just like falling into, I mean, I'm discovering a lot of new music, but I'm discovering so much that I don't remember who the hell I've discovered. You know what I mean? After 2 days, I'm like, who was that girl the other day that I really liked? It was a lot like Margot Price and kind of like, you know, Lily Hyatt. I can't remember, you know. But there's been some good stuff coming out. I'm really looking forward to the new Patterson Hood record, which we talked about in short. Looking forward to that one. Looking forward to the new Charlie Crockett, produced by my boy Shooter Jennings.
Man,
which there ain't no way you can go wrong with that.
The first Crockett song I heard was that "Just a Clown."
Yeah,
and I was hooked.
Yeah,
like that sound, and I think that it's all coming back. Like it's cyclical, like clothes or style or anything else.
Yeah,
and it's funny with the halftime show. You know, you had probably half the viewers watching loved it, maybe half
sure
didn't, and which led to a pretty good dialogue that we were having. A buddy of mine, he was like, okay, think of somebody that is huge, a band that could pull off a halftime show now today that
sure
most everybody knows.
Yeah.
And I was like, The Killers?
Yeah, but I mean, most everybody don't know The Killers, I don't believe, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, unless you put U2 back up there or REM or somebody, but I mean, they don't have what it takes,
they're past their time.
You're right.
And I almost feel like even like with Foo Fighters or like, hell, if you did a Red Hot Chili Pepper.
Nah, Red Hot Chili Peppers are too niche, I think. Foo Fighters could probably do it. That may be one of the only bands that could probably do it. But
and then I thought,
even then, it would be so isolating.
In that vein, I was like, well, maybe I don't even know if the Black Keys are big enough.
No,
you know, but they're an arena band.
You and I could put on a hell of a halftime show, but nobody'd watch it.
Yeah,
you know, because we'd have Early James up there, we'd have Taylor Hollingsworth, some Abe Partridge doing a song.
Just that, stack it with Alabama.
Yeah,
Roll Tide.
Yeah, Roll Tide. Yeah, we get Waxahachie in there, and maybe throw in some Drive By Truckers. You know, mm-hmm. All Alabama stuff.
That's it. Yo, I went and caught them live finally.
Drive Truckers? Truckers. Yeah, where at?
Let me butcher this.
The Shoals?
No, at the Orion. Nah, I did it again. It's the Orion, that new amphitheater.
Orion, where at?
Huntsville.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I've never been there.
And cool show.
Well, it's new now.
You know, so. Cool show to be at, just because proximity of, hell, that's right down the road from where most of those guys are from, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got Matt. He's out of what, the Jasper area? And then Cooley and Patterson is from, like, Florence area, Shoals
yep.
area.
Yep. And Isbell. Yep. Oh, Isbell's from Green something, Alabama.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was like a homecoming show. And, man, you could tell, like, great outing, like, the fans.
Yeah.
These were
Who opened the show?
Just him.
Oh, cool. Didn't have the Dextines with them. Mm-hmm. They have the Dextines show up at the Heathens thing over at 40 Watt Club in Athens, where Drive-By Truckers got their start at. They have that every year. Matt always does a dial-back sound show along with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I think we talked about it when we did the Portland episode. But when I went to I was in Portland and saw Waxahachie. I sat with Patterson Hood. He and his wife sat right in front of us, and I talked to him. And it was cool because just randomly over the loudspeakers in between music, they played a Dextines song. And he automatically picks up his phone. I like tap on the shoulder. I'm like, did you request this? He was like, hell no. I was like, that's cool. So, yeah, I think he played Maker's Bound or Neil Armstrong, one of the two.
Two of the good ones. Exactly. Two great ones.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's typically how I like listening to Drive-By Truckers. I'll get on YouTube and I'll just look up a live performance.
Yeah.
Or even there's so much good out there. Even if you're on a streaming service, you can get you know, you can get Isbel Live doing a drive-by song. You can get Cooley Live. You can get Patterson. But
yeah,
those live shows, and, I mean, I got to experience it was, man, I always sleep on how good of a storyteller they are in between songs. Yes. And for them to be such proximity to home, it was like a homecoming.
Sure.
Very special.
It's like when I go see Lucero in Memphis.
Yeah.
Always the best version of Lucero you're going to see,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're back home. I guess there's something about that comfort. And, I mean, their songs are storytelling songs, every one of them, for the Truckers. Unlike a lot of bands that you listen to don't necessarily tell a story, the Truckers have always done that. And I was lucky enough, speaking of, got to see Cooley at the Alabama Tuscaloosa Get Up.
Yeah, Brittany Howard, Alabama Shakes came back.
Brittany Howard, Alabama Shakes, after 7 years, popped up. Because I was, Jamie Nettles sat ahead of us, a couple rows ahead of us. And people were talking about there's going to be a special announcement. They put it out on the Facebook page of Druid City, like a special announcement's coming up, you know, tonight during the show. And Jamie Nettles comes up to me and she's like, what's going to happen? I said, Strokes are going to get back together. She's like, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah. I was like, that's the only thing it can be. Who is Brittany going to bring out there that's bigger than the Alabama Shakes for us in Alabama? You know, at this venue where Alabama Shakes, one of the first big venues they played was the Bama Theater. And sure enough, man, as soon as she came out there, played one song, she goes, I forgot my electric. Hang on. She goes off stage and comes back with the Shakes.
And now they're working on an album.
Oh, my gosh, man. A big tour. Lots of stuff. So, yeah, it was really cool to see. I've seen the Shakes handful of times. Gotten to know them over the years, kind of, sort of, not really. They will know who I am, you know. But my wife got a chance to see them for the first time and was just mesmerized. You know, there's no way, like, I'm a big one. Like, I kind of feel when a band's about three songs from getting off stage and going home. And so I'm like, okay, let's go ahead and go. And my wife was like, nope.
You're not
leaving. You're not. We're going to watch the Shakes. So...
Well, hell yeah, dude. Man, this Alabama in general, I feel like has been killing it. Yep. You brought up Waxahachie earlier.
Yep.
Red Clay Strays and Waxahachie. Man. We're both on NPR Tiny Desk.
Yes. Man, the Tiny Desk is just one of the best things in the world.
And it's been around for so long. Like, if you've lived under a rock and you've never checked out the NPR Tiny Desk, it's impossible that they don't have five of your favorites.
Yeah, because at this point... Post Malone, Taylor Swift, Childish Gambino, I'm sure. I don't know, I'm just like naming off names now, but they've all been on Tiny Desk before. And then you go even to the smaller bands, like one of my all-time favorites, David Eugene Edwards of Woven Hand, they were on there. He was on there.
Iron and Wine.
Iron and Wine, shit. Iron and Wine's got a new record coming out, right? Is that Iron and Wine? Father John Misty has a new one coming out. Lots of good stuff coming up.
Yeah, something to look forward to, right?
Yes, man.
You know, just not even to get into it, but just to say that, like, the times that we're in are, you know, as bad as it is, as much suck there can be.
Sure.
It always pushes out some of the greatest art.
Yeah, it does. You know, the pandemic that you and I talked about that, everybody doing all these little special acoustic concerts on YouTube and shit and on their websites whenever the pandemic happened. That was, to me, one of the greatest... Mm-hmm. things about all of that crap we went through.
I mean, hell, we did three shows on Porch Talk's Facebook page. I hired out Taylor Hollinsworth.
Yeah.
I got Joshua Cosby from Star and Mice in Memphis. And then Spencer Thomas did a Christmas show for us.
Yeah.
And it was just like, one is, like, man, I saw it on two fronts. It's like, well, as a fan, you're not able to go see them. And it's cool to kind of get that dial back. They're just on the other side of the screen.
Yeah.
Does it get old fast? Absolutely. But, like, they're not playing shows either, so, like, that income is gone. So it was a cool opportunity to be able to, like, man, I will pay you if you just hop on the page and play for a little while.
Heck, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember paying for Ben from Lucero. He did a special show, and I paid for it. Was it what, Lucero? Yeah, Lucero did something. They all had masks on except for Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I paid for it. Like, heck yeah. My wife, who wasn't my wife at the time, she paid for it, and we watched together over the phone, you know. So, I mean, those are great times. I mean, you think about, like, when I was growing up.
I wake up, the sun's still down, can't see around the room. Got a big old mess around the house, don't know what to do. Yeah, nothing's right and baby's got the blues. Car won't start, my dog got sick, got two leaks on the roof. Got a past due bill from the termite folks, a chip on my front tooth. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blues. I get down when baby's got the blues. Yeah, I get down, don't know what to do. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the like shit, but it'll have to do. So I got drunk and I passed out with all my clothes on too. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blues. I fell down, hit my head, scuffed up my new shoes, ripped my jeans down the back, the only ones that fit right too. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blues. Yeah, I get down when baby's got the blues. I get down, don't know what to do. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blues.
You know, when I was growing up, you think about all the punk rock music at the time, it was all anti-establishment, anti-Reagan. You know, that was the big thing. So it's like in times of hardship, and I think music's always shined. You know, you think about all the music that came out when Bob Marley and the apartheid and all that stuff, Live Aid, you know, music just kind of has that way of being the common denominator for a lot of us, being the thing that calms a lot of us down, just having that regular feed constantly, you know. I mean, Lucero, in a lot of ways, and all these other people I watched, J.M. Stevens and whoever else did one during the pandemic, I mean, it helped me to realize, I mean, other people are going through the same shit I'm going through, you know, and it kind of, it helped to normalize things for me a little bit more than what I was experiencing. So I think, you know, like looking at what's happening right now politically in this country, a lot of people are upset and sad and crazy and, you know, all different manner of emotions, you know, and music can be that equalizer that kind of brings us all back together and makes us realize, look, we're all going through it. It's good, you know. Just chill out.
You're gonna come out of it.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Yeah. And I think that's really one of the coolest things about music is how it can bring us together. You know.
I mean, just like that on a personal level, man. And we've talked about it like time and time again. Like, no matter what emotion or whatever trial you're going through, life is like, you know, like you say with Lucero, is like, you know, for a while they were on the same vein as you as far as what he was writing about, what he was going through, what he was living.
Life choices and lifestyles, yeah.
And it reflected in the songs, and it was easy for you to relate to. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you get that special attachment to different artists. And
yeah.
And it's kind of wild. Like, when you run into somebody else, like, you always bring up, like, the Lucero Block Party in Memphis. It's like, okay, once a year, these are friends. These are the homies. And it's like,
yeah,
from maybe from Memphis predominantly, but maybe not.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, from all over. Because, I mean, I know through Lucero, our little group of people, I've met people from Colorado, from California, mm-hmm. from Louisiana. I mean, it's like it's a brotherhood, if you will, you know, female, males, whatever, you know. And I think music in general is that, whether your thing is Otis Redding or Shooter Jennings or Waxahachie, whatever, you know.
Yeah, man, it's funny. Like,
I mean, you and I mean, look at you and I. I mean, we've bonded over Abe Partridge,
yeah.
Early James. I mean, we've had our moments where there are these groups that both of us just herald. Our buddy Taylor Hollingsworth, sure. You know. Luckily, we can call these people friends too, you know. Well, you can call them more friends than me, but
come on, man.
But Taylor, you know, Taylor and I are buddies. But yeah,
yeah, that Tupelo show that he played with Great Dine.
Yeah,
my buddy Bo, he went to that show. And he sent a picture or two.
Yeah.
And then a text message. And he was like, man, it's nice to be able to throw your name around. So I said, what happened?
Would he get like a free t-shirt or something?
No,
or
I think it just helped break the ice.
Yeah, good, yeah.
Something to talk about. But I was like, oh, you must be at the Blue Canoe. And he was like, yeah, I came out to see Great Dine and your friend Taylor.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, man, tell him I said hello.
Yeah.
Although I do know this, is like when you tell a dude to tell somebody hello, they never do.
Yeah, I guess I will. I don't know. I saw Taylor. Gosh, I guess the last time I actually laid eyes on him was Memphis. We haven't talked since then. First part of December, Taylor played up there with Laura Jane Grace.
I've heard stories.
And the Mississippi Medicals. That was a great show. And then the next night, I was on my way to, I flew to Florida the next night from Memphis. And so I was unable to see him at Sunstroke House.
Taylor and Matt.
Yeah. That was awesome, I'm sure. Yeah. Just see those two acoustic, because that's what we got at the venue, you know, because Taylor opened up for Cat Bite, who opened up for Laura Jane Grace. And Cat Bite, a phenomenal ska band, if you're into ska. Yeah, check them out. And they've been doing a lot of shows with Laura Jane Grace, doing Operation Ivy cover songs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which, you know, band started by Tim Armstrong from Rancid.
And that was one thing I was kind of talking with Matt about, just like a little bit of the history of how he met Laura Jane.
Yeah.
And, man, and while I had Matt and Taylor, I was like, man, tell me a little bit about y'all, man. How did y'all meet? And he was at a bar, and we got to talk, and the next thing you know, we started.
Roommates.
Yeah. Time moves on.
Yeah.
Marches on. And it was wild to hear about, like, the connection with Dalbeck and Laura Jane and how all that came to be. And just, man, I'm happy about what they have over there at Dalbeck. Name one bad record.
I've none so far. I mean, there's some records that I think you should probably pay more attention to. Like Krista Schaus, her record. I've got it up there. Don't know what the name of it is. Check that bad boy out.
That is
a damn fine record. And her voice is so unique because it's a little more, it's a little deeper than you expect from a female typically, but it's such a phenomenal record. And that was one when I was with Matt at the Columbus Arts Council, when he was playing with Jimbo Mathis, mm-hmm. I was like, just suggest something. So he suggested, because I was getting the, I can't remember the band. They're broke up now. They recorded the record and broke up. They're a rockabilly band, but that was the Popes. There was some Smoking Popes or some shit like that. Oh. I forget what it was. Not Smoking Popes, because that was Shane McGowan. But anyway, I was like, I want this record. He was like, well, I recommend this one. He gave me Krista Schaus. And then he turned around and gave me Teardrop City. And he said, check all these out. I'm like, all right, cool. And I sat and listened to him. I was blown away.
Yeah, I've got the night that him and Taylor played at the Sunstroke House.
Yeah.
Walked over to Matt's table and I was, man, give me every record you got.
And, cool, yeah.
And, you know, at that time, it was...
I think it's Prone to Wander is the name of the record. Yeah. I'm going to look it up real quick.
Yeah, go for it. And so he had the latest Larging, Grace, and the Mississippi Medicals, Yola, Taylor's new record, and The Great Dying, the new record. That
yeah.
He's touring now.
I do not have that record, yes.
And when Matt was telling me about it, that record, in particular, he was like... I don't know if you're familiar with Great Dime, but this record is going to be a lot different than what you know from he's totally different project.
And did you see him when they were at Sunstroke, The Great Dying?
No, I did not.
Okay, because we moved the show. It was supposed to be at the Arts Council, and we had low ticket sales, moved it to Sunstroke, and sold out. So,
place you guys.
It's so weird. Yeah, it was really kind of weird. Everybody questioned my decision on moving the show, but... It was a good deal because it sold out,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Works that way sometimes.
Yeah, Prone to Wander is the record from Krista Schaus. Listen to it because it's phenomenal.
Good plug.
Yeah.
Man, Harley James, you've been spending time with his new record?
Yes. Yes, I have. Phenomenal stuff, man. I mean, I just think that's just one of those artists I just kind of feel comfort in, you know. When he puts out something new, you can go to it because you know it's early James. It's going to be mm-hmm. what you dig. It's going to be that style, that whole loose fucking bluesy, haphazard craziness, that organized chaos, I guess the best way to describe it, you know?
I don't think I'll ever forget when you booked him and Ford Boswell to come play.
Yeah.
And Ford came and played Lap Steel that night.
Yes. And then they came to the house, and we did the podcast together.
Trash.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And my truck got wrecked that night.
It did get wrecked that night. Yeah, because you were like, I was like, just stay here. You slept on the couch. Like, just take it easy. There's no need to go out there. Good thing you didn't, because you'd have got smushed up in your car.
I'm telling you, man. I was walking down the street. And hungover, and it was just like a bad dream. I was like, I'm going to wake up from this. We're pulling out of this. Because the closer I got to my truck, I did not park that truck on a pole. And then I started noticing like debris and pieces of a vehicle like just kind of laid out. And I was like, that's part of my truck. What happened?
And nothing ever came of that.
No.
Never found anybody.
You know, and they got the cameras.
Now.
Well, then, too. And I was talking to law enforcement, like, when we reported it, and he came up there to do the paperwork, and I was like, man, I know it's a long shot, but, man, like, I think if we wanted to know who did it, all you would have to do is watch that camera right there. And he was like, bro, that ain't going to happen. Okay.
There's no point in having those cameras there.
Yeah.
If you're
what,
not.
Yeah, what are they for?
But that was a great night, though.
That was a great night.
Hanging out with Early and Cammy.
Yeah, Cammy.
Cammy.
And, you know, they...
And Ford.
Those two, which they came and surprised everybody at last year's Porch Fest.
Yes.
The Alabama Sewing Sew Machine. That's Cammy and James together. Okay.
doesn't matter who you came from, we're all the same if you learn the angles of the game. And you can play it. You need a reason to be who you are. After it's over, there'll be nothing left except some graffiti initials on a tree, a distant memory, an immortal mind. It's a lot to give when the eyes afterlife are blind. It's hard to believe in something. It's hard to believe in something. It's hard to believe in something when you're feeling like it's all a lie. It's all a lie. Six crayons in your jumbo pack, infinity pictures in your rainbow mind. Until you're out of wax, you create a world and you crave to share it with your girl, and she will try. There's gotta be something out there more than this. Gotta be something out there more than this. 'Cause I'm feeling sick and I can feel that prick. I can watch the sunset every night. But will we ever know? Is it all just black? Will we ever share it with the former generations of our pack? A forgotten stitch, a religious itch. Where do we all go? Does the mind continue working with the soul once the body's in the ditch? It's hard to believe in something. It's hard to believe in something. It's hard to believe in something when you're feeling like it's all a lie. It's hard to believe in something. It's hard to believe in something. It's hard to believe in something when you're feeling like it's all a lie. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. It's all a lie.
Off of Alabama right now, like just with everything, like it's just stars are aligning for so many, like even
I wish it was for the football team, dude. All right, we won't go there. I'm sorry.
Well, I brought it up. Even I got into basketball this season. You know, they were they hosted Auburn. Auburn was number one, Alabama was number two, and Alabama took that L, then turned around, got beat by Missouri, and I was like, well, you know what, I think I've had enough of basketball.
Yeah.
But yeah, man,
I don't guess, I mean, I can't get past football, and now the football season's over, it's like this wasteland on my television on the weekends. It's like, that's such a, in next year you're gonna have to like take Saturdays off of your job and come over and tailgate with us.
I'm not a, not opposed to that.
'Cause we're working, I'm working on being a better tailgate host every Saturday. And I mean, shit, I'm not opposed to it every Sunday, but not everybody likes the Commanders like I do. Because shit, we almost went to the Super Bowl, you know, we were that close. Which is exciting to me 'cause I've been a Redskin fan my entire life. And, and when the Commanders get a chance to do it in such a great fashion with an LSU quarterback who, I fucking hate LSU, but I was like, go Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
You my boy, you know.
Yeah, they had a good run, dude. My Eagles won it.
Yes, man.
And that's so funny because, man, I, so many of my friends were pulling for the Chiefs, and they don't like the Chiefs, but can't stand the Eagles because of Eagle fans. And I was like, every fan base has got the crazy ones. Like, you can't just single out the Eagles. I was like, we could look at any fan, but hell, look at Alabama. They got some crazies.
Sure, sure.
I mean, I how many people hate Alabama because of the fan base?
How many people hate LSU? Me. Because of the fan base.
Yeah.
I mean, not literal hate, but you know.
Yeah, go down the line. Yeah. I feel that way about Tennessee.
Sure. Yeah, I just feel that way about their color. I can't stand the color.
Yeah, I'll never forget that video. What's that, like the inside of a pumpkin?
But you should have probably come over the night of the Super Bowl, because we didn't have a dog in the fight, but we're Jalen fans.
Yeah.
So,
and that was another reason.
And there was like six or seven former Alabama players on the Eagles that night.
You had Antonio Brown, made him a starter.
Yeah.
So, very cool.
AJ.
AJ. That's yeah. Right. AJ Brown.
Yeah. I don't know if his real name is Antonio. I don't know.
Could be.
I never heard what the AJ stands for.
I'm going to say it's Antonio Jones Brown. There. I've solved it.
And let's see. Anathawasia Johansson Brown.
Yes.
So I always like Aloysius Judah Baker Brown. There we go. I don't know what it stands for. But, you know, I mean, I guess ultimately the takeaway from this podcast today is that I am getting comfortable just hanging out. When you come over and hang out with me, we drink beer, it makes my hanging out even cooler.
Yeah, man.
You know, and when we got football on TV, it's cool. When we listen to new music, it's cool. That's since everything that happened in my life with my stroke and putting my body down, I'm glad to get to that point where I'm more comfortable in my own skin. I'm getting healthier. I'm doing less of the bad stuff that put me in my, you know what I mean, in my mindset. I'm losing weight. I feel like I look a little better again, and I'm just happy. You know, I'm happy with my life.
I've been cutting back on the beers. I ain't never really been big on the liquor, but just out of a weight standpoint for myself, it's like, man, I'm getting awfully heavy. And I was like, man, I bet if I quit drinking every day and just, you know, maybe have a day a week.
Yeah.
Hell, maybe two.
Yeah.
But don't drink, you know, Monday through Friday or however you line it out.
Yeah.
And then have a Saturday or Sunday to, you know, get together with you, have a couple beers.
I mean, because this.
Put on some music, whatever.
This podcast, the idea came to us while we were sitting around drinking. So, I mean, it was, you know what I mean?
It was very natural,
this
very
version of
thing.
Your podcast came together. Yeah.
Hell, a lot of the. and so many things has changed, like over the years of doing the show, but not really.
Yeah,
like the location of some of the places has changed, but still the same show.
Yeah, we went from an apartment to my house now, you know, our house. Yeah, and just to clarify, I quit drinking liquor, so that's made a big impact on my life. Going a lot of days of the week with no beer, even, you know, just hanging out and enjoying life a little easier than I did, because I think for me, drinking every day, it kind of became like a Groundhog Day, you know. It made it less fun, like for us to have two beers while we're doing the podcast now and not getting slammed drunk. It's nice, you know. It's just cool to hang out with a buddy and have a beer and just talk shit.
That and that was another thing, man. I was worried about myself a little bit. Was and I could feel this way after this, but I don't think so. A little more self control, but
yeah,
it used to be if I had one beer, I wanted every beer.
Hurry into Menards and save big money on your bathroom refresh. Max has a great selection of showers, tubs, and surrounds. Max's Utah shower kits combine luxury with practicality. They have a sleek design and make installation simple. Save big money on Max showers. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sure. That's like, me. That was me.
If I bought a 12-pack, I was going to drink all 12. If I bought a 6, I was going to go back to the gas station and get 6 more.
Yeah.
And I was like, this...
Gotcha.
We can't sustain this, and especially get to drinking those IPAs, the heavy sitters.
Yeah.
Right to the gut.
Exactly. You know, and you, I guess you're nowhere near as old as me. I'm 50. But when you get to be my age, you start noticing that a lot of the people that I grew up with have had their issues. We've beat our bodies up. Let us be the example of what you need to curtail now so you don't end up with body pains and diabetes and whatever else, you know. I mean, drinking could have been one of the causes of my stroke, you know. I'm going to say it was high blood pressure and smoking cigarettes. But whatever, there could have been other factors in there as well, you know. So just let us be examples of you need to go ahead and just kind of curtail it now if you can, yeah. You know, because you're in your early 30s, mid-30s,
mm-hmm.
Early,
34.
Right? 34. Well, yeah, mid-30s, yeah. So you got plenty of time to just screw your body up little by little, not all at once.
Yeah, yeah. Dad, like I got a buddy of mine back home in Kennedy, man. He's like, we graduated high school together, and he's on his third back surgery. And I was like,
yeah,
dude, like. And I remember him being so injury prone. I remember like he played football, he played basketball, he would play baseball, and it would be with each season there would be an injury worse than the one before, and he just kept doing it. And I was like, you're going to be, like, in pieces by the time you're 40.
Yeah.
real rough on the body. And I was talking to my dad and my grandpa about that and, like, just thinking about the future and work and, like, man, I don't want to be bent all the way over when I'm 60 or 70 like yeah. that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I worried at one point when I was a distance runner doing half marathons all the time. And just running in general, pretty much every day, that I was going to ruin my knees or whatever. But after 5-6 years, I eventually got out of it, and I think I saved my knees. But that's the least of my worries now is my damn knees.
Yeah,
you know, I got half my body's still half paralyzed. So, I mean, I'm doing pretty damn good as far as the running was concerned. Didn't have anything to do with anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, to say that, you know, maybe you know, the reason that my right side is partially paralyzed is all the running, but I doubt it.
I've been thinking about this too, like that Brett Newsky.
Yeah.
So he's got his new record coming out. It's Americana, CON, so like a con.
Yeah.
And I like the leadership, and I'm not saying that he's the first or the biggest one doing it, but none of this new record is going to be on the streamers. It's going to be on Bandcamp. You can get a CD, a vinyl. That's it.
Yeah.
And, like, trying to, like, I guess organize, and maybe not. That's not even really his message. Like, everybody should do this. But I like moves like that. Like, it almost feels like, you know, with Spotify or Apple or whatever, streamer, Pandora, whatever, man, the artist, I think Spotify actually pays the best, but it's not good.
No, not at all.
It's pennies.
Yeah, and I tell you one thing I did learn, in order for an artist to get credit for you listening, you have to listen longer than 30 seconds.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, I'm a DJ, so I automatically want to flip as soon as I hear the first, you know, I'm not even going to mention the name of the person that I heard say this. But don't bore us, get to the chorus. And so that was like, in my head, I'm like, hurry it up, get to something, you know? And if you're not to it in the first 20 seconds, I'm on to the next song, mm-hmm. if it doesn't interest me. And here lately, I've been, honestly, because I know that they can be streamed 500,000 times and get $6 off that 500,000 times, or maybe even less than that. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to listen at least 30 seconds to everybody that I have on. And I mean, I'll notice a song that it's come on that I know I don't care for, and I'll listen to it for 30 seconds just to give them that credit, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, like, with that scheme or game plan, I like that, is, you know, just with him organizing the pre-sale to go on Bandcamp and pre-order it, he was topping the charts on Bandcamp. And that's a real thing, to where, like, people were going and buying the music. I mean, Kai from, you know, when we had Brian.
Yes.
You know, he's got, like,
Dirty Clergy.
But you got Kai and the Heretics. That's Kai's project.
Yes.
Or Heretics, plural, is he's all the Heretics. It's Kai.
Yeah.
But I've peeked behind the curtain for everybody. But he's got 4 or 5 albums solely on Bandcamp. But his biggest fan base is all Australia. And I was like, buddy, you need to move.
Well, I mean, to think about all those bands from the 80s, all those hair metal bands.
Yeah.
Their biggest fan base was Japan.
Oh, wow.
I mean, all of them. They went to Japan. They were like gods there. You know, they come here. They're just like, you know, ooh, they're cool. That's Van Halen. But they went to Kiss, went to Japan, and all of a sudden, because Kiss is a shitty band that had a shtick that was really cool. If you ever saw Kiss live, it was a cool show, you know? I'll give them that.
I've never been a fan of that band.
No, their music is horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's simple.
Anytime, like a 99.9 or any rock station, when the Kiss song comes on, I immediately turn the channel.
Yeah, and it's always, I want to rock and roll all night. I mean, who wants to hear that song for the 58 millionth time?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, Kiss is one of those bands that I should probably like, but I don't. Didn't we do that one time? Talk about the list of bands that are in my head that I should really like, but I don't like them.
I don't remember if we have.
Oh, my God. We got to do that sometime.
That'd be good.
Yeah, if we haven't already.
We know that Kiss is on there.
Yes, Kiss is on there for sure. Talking Heads is on there. I should really like Talking Heads, but I don't. I just don't care for
them. Van Halen would be on mine.
Honestly, the
Playing Fast just never fucking impressed me.
Yeah, the Pixies are on mine.
Ooh.
I mean, there are a few songs from the Pixies I love, like Here Comes Your Man and Jay. It's all the songs that Kim Deal sings.
Yeah.
Gigantic. But I'm just not that big a Pixies fan. I know I should be. we can do that a whole other time. Dude, that's a whole other episode.
I've got it, like, especially when it comes to, like, modern. And I'm not even, like, trying to be rude or hipster or anything about it, but there's a lot of... I don't see what everybody sees in Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And like I said, not my cup of tea. I've tried.
Yeah.
Ooh, I got a funny story to tell
you. I watched that whole... My wife had me watch that whole concert thing, the Eras
thing.
Neat. I was glad when it was over. Yeah. But it didn't bug me all the way through it. You know, it's like, she is what she is. Mm-hmm. You know, a band that I would add to that, I know we've talked about before, is Queen. I don't like Queen at all. I don't like Maroon 5.
Oh, I don't either. You know that, I think it's Sugar, and I was reading about this the other day, because Mike Posner, he had that hit song Cooler Than You. He was the guy that wrote Maroon 5, Sugar. Like, a lot of the hit songs from a band, like a pop band like Maroon 5.
Yeah.
Of course they're not writing their own music, but it was written by that Mike Posner. And he got, I don't know if it was RCA or Sony, but they took a chance and recorded and, you know, paid him to record a record.
Yeah.
Dropped a single, didn't do what they thought it would did, and he just fell off the face of the earth.
Huh.
And I was like, but you go through and, like, credits, I'm sure he's fine forever with all the millions of
hits. The mailbox money that he gets, you're right. Sure.
But I was like, man, what a damn tragedy that was. I was like, You have written some of the hottest songs, like, year after year, but you ain't the one singing.
I don't know. I have to look him up to see what all he wrote.
Pretty cool story. Like, all together, like, I follow him up on Instagram. It's wholesome. Like, yeah. Recently, he, you know, it might not be everybody's cup of tea, but, I mean, he found God, and, I mean, he seems to be pretty passionate about faith. I was like, I like that for people.
Sure, sure.
I love that.
Whatever, but, whatever makes you good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But, yeah, Maroon 5, I told you, I never got the appeal.
Let's think about it real hard and make that the next episode.
Journey.
Oh yeah, no, I don't like. I don't like arena rock. The only band out of that whole era that I like, and it's just because it's my mother's favorite band, is Foreigner.
Ooh.
But I don't like Journey. I don't like Kansas.
I like Styx.
Eh, I don't like Styx.
But
either.
The only reason,
unless you, and that's one of the only bands that rocked the fuck out in the '70s, and popped out in the '80s that I still like. Like ZZ Top rocked in the '70s, but they suck in the '80s. But I do like Styx, Mr. Roboto, Tomorrow Regato. Yeah. I love that 80s stuff, man.
That shit ruled.
They're one of the few bands, though. Most of them, I liked their 70s rock. When they got to the 80s, they sucked. Van Halen got less cool when it got to the 80s. But the damn 70s, early 80s, when they were doing, you know, Ain't Nobody, Ain't Talking About Love and whatever, shoot, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I am a bigger fan, I will admit. As we're talking about this, and you talk about how you don't like Van Halen, I like Sammy Hagar's version of Van Halen better than David Lee Roth's, honestly.
Now there's iterations to that. and that would be worth, like, going into. Like, I would lean more towards Sam than Roth.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why, just something about Sammy Hagar.
He's cool.
Yeah, he's a very cool dude. He's an old alcoholic now, you know. He's all red faced and mixing drinks on his Instagram feed, but with Joe Walsh and whoever else, you know. But it's, I don't know. There's so many different.
Oh yeah, we sit down and make a.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a haters podcast.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a couple of haters.
And now I think the thing we can also talk about this. And I've seen the band a couple times, several times, but Lynyrd Skynyrd is operating on no original members.
But still
rocking along.
How the hell that happened? It's wild to me.
I guess because they played with the original members, whatever ones were left.
It's almost a damn shame that.
It's a cover band at this point, isn't it? You know?
Yes.
I mean, granted, the lead singer is the former lead singer's brother, but it's not the same.
Mm-mm.
You know, it doesn't feel the same.
I hate the songs that the radio plays of theirs because, like, that band, and I rode in the car with my dad with the cassette tape. He had every Skynyrd cassette.
That band rocks.
Dude, they don't have misses. Like, they're, at that time, like, see, we could talk CD, whatever now, but I remember those cassettes.
Like working for MCA and, oh my gosh.
Man, the first thing I did when I got my own vehicle was, and it had a tape deck in it, is, man, I stole every one of my dad's Lynyrd Skynyrd tapes.
Yeah.
That's all you would hear in my truck.
Yeah.
It's rocking the fuck out. But it, like, and don't get me wrong, like, of course, your Sweet Home Alabama or, I mean, name.
Freebird.
Yeah. But, like, that's not even it,
Tuesday's gone. Yeah.
Give me Two Steps.
Oh, yeah.
Like, man, like. You could play literally any song of theirs.
Yeah,
they fucking ruled.
Man, Give Me Back My Bullets. Damn, that's a rock song right there.
Yeah, yeah, they ruled.
But now, I mean, there's no original members left. So what's the point? It's like
I'm telling you,
glorified cover band. I mean, like, I don't like it when bands replace their lead vocalist. That is when it ceases to be the band.
Stone Temple Pilots.
Journey. Foreigner.
Well, that cat from Journey.
Yeah, I know. Steve O'Terry or whatever his name is.
He could sound just like the original guy, but it ain't.
But he ain't Steve Perry.
Yeah.
You know, whoever's singing for Foreigner now is not Lou Gramm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when you take the lead singer out of it, it's like whenever Motley Crue went without Vince Neil. Now they could go without Vince Neil and get away with it because Vince Neil sucks. He's horrible. I mean, they make fun of him online. He's so bad. But, you know, you could take him out now, but it's not the same band when you take the lead singer out, because that is the one thing that defines the sound of the band. I mean, you may have dual or triple guitar threats that show up in a band like Lynyrd Skynyrd, but when you take the lead singer out of the mix, that's messes with the whole entire sound of the band. You know, you can't have, I mean, Sublime did a great job when they called themselves Sublime with Rome, because it's the band, but with a different lead singer. And that was amazing, because I never went into my, in like when I went to listen to Sublime with Rome, I never listened to it like, oh, he didn't sound like Bradley.
Wasn't trying to.
Because I knew it was Rome. That was the best thing you could do.
The only exception to this, and I totally agree, man, is like, that's when I get upset. Like, I was a huge Stone Temple Pilot guy.
Sure.
And when Scott passed and they replaced him, they put out that, the new hit single, Meadows, it was called.
Was that with Chester Bennington?
No.
Okay.
And I listened to it and I was like, yeah, the band's still there, but it just ain't.
Yeah.
It ain't Scott.
Stone Temple Pilots with whoever, you know? I mean, I personally dug the Chester Bennington when he was with Stone Temple Pilots.
That was fine.
One or two songs they did. I don't know if they did a whole record.
I don't know. If
that was great.
But Alice in Chains would be the only exception. And that's because Jerry Cantrell
did most of the vocals. He made Layne Staley sound like he did thanks to his accompaniment.
Believe it or not, he was back behind him doing harmony.
Yeah.
And he was also the songwriter.
Yeah. Because the new guy that's singing with Alice in Chains sounds like Layne Staley.
I've seen it live.
Oh, you have? Okay, yeah. There you go.
It's fine.
Yeah, and like, the new guy, Travis or whatever, that sings for Blind Melon, sounds almost exactly like Shannon Hoon did. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing Shannon Hoon live several times, but he ain't Shannon Hoon, you know? I think they could have done with a Blind Melon with Travis, whatever his name is, you know? But that's just me.
Man, that's that, you know, that Blind Melon, that's when they go on tour and like, what now, the brother is like a lawyer up northeast, and it's funny, like sometimes he'll go and sometimes he won't go, and like it's like just hearing like Blind Melon news, I love hearing about it, like getting in the kind of the stink of it, but I was like, man, what a and the Andrew Wood here in town, you know, he moved out west and he was roommates with Cornell. Say Hello to Heaven, that was written for Andrew Wood.
Yes, who was Mother Love Bone.
Mm-hmm.
Is he from here?
Yes, he's from Columbus.
I never knew that.
Mm-hmm. Pearl Jam, he knew, like, Eddie Vedder wrote songs for Andrew Wood. All those guys from the grunge, they had a song dedicated to, and so we were thinking, I don't know, maybe a couple of years.
Because when Andrew Wood died, that was the end of Mother Love Bone.
That's right.
But from the ashes of Mother Love Bone grew Temple of the Dog, which is former members of Pearl Jam, or members of Pearl Jam and Soundgarden, which came together, which was Mother Love Bone and all that. So, cool.
Very, and we were thinking about that, and we wanted to put something together for Andrew, and we wanted to reach out to Eddie and whoever is left out there and see if they'd come and, like, do a tribute, like maybe a small little festival here in town.
Yeah.
You know, maybe open up that bridge and we actually use that amphitheater that they built. That,
yeah, you can rent it now.
were thinking about doing, but I don't know, like, one, I mean, I guess it'd be easiest probably getting on a website and figuring out how to get in contact with Eddie's agent and just, we really want Eddie to hear this because he would get it.
Yeah,
but we want to do this thing and pay tribute to Andrew, and like we think this will be cool,
huh?
But I have no idea how far off that is. I'm probably just going to be talking out of my ass about it. But like I just the history of people from this area, like Blind Melon or Andrew, like just the impact that they had on like a sound. You know,
I never knew that Andrew Wood was born here. I was fact-checking you as you were talking.
Fact-check true?
It says it right there. How the hell did I not know that?
Dude, it surprised me.
Because I was thinking...
You know who approached me about the idea?
I thought that you were getting confused with Graham from Blind Melon. Or Brad and Rogers, who are from West Point. I thought you were getting confused. He's from damn Columbus, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's right there.
Yeah, he chased the dream out west.
Yeah.
Boom.
One of
the most impactful guys of an era, right?
Shit, yes. Oh, my God.
Ain't that crazy?
That my world's blown. We got to end this right now. I just got to go. I got to go sit and drink by myself now and just listen to
We never did talk about the beer. We got Key City out of Vicksburg. Yeah. Death on Two Legs.
And it's really cool, the art on the can. It's not like, you know, blow me away, like electrifying, but it's cool as hell because it's black.
It's like a playing card.
And a playing card that's in gold, but the Grim Reaper has fishnets on and red high heels, which is awesome. So, yeah, I mean, 9.5% double IPA, extremely nice. Yep. Very smooth. Goes down way too easy.
I don't know how long this brewery has been around, but I'm just now seeing them. But Vicksburg, so guys, this is called Key City.
Yeah.
There's another one out of Oxford, Circle and Square. I don't know if they release an IPA yet. But, man, Mississippi is beginning to get a lot of breweries.
Bring it on.
You know, I think people are... Because I was talking to Kim Coleman from 1817 in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Which makes pretty good beer. I love the house beer. Whatever he's doing. It's just like Druid City Brewing. Shout out, guys.
Sure.
Anything they do, I'm going to love. But, man, like, I was talking with Kim just about, like, brewery history in Mississippi. And he was like, man, there's a lot of graves. You know, he's like the... You see a brewery pop up, great product, but he was like, it's just hard. Like, Mississippi, like, hasn't figured out what Alabama has as far as getting people away from just domestic shit.
Yep. And just opening up those beer laws and not being scared of them. And, you know, I mean, not thinking that all of us are going to go out and crash our cars the night that they open up the beer laws and make it more than 10% or... You know, allow us to have our breweries with tap rooms. You know what I mean? I mean, because, you know, shout out to Mayhew Brewing, which is no more. Shout out to Crooked Letter Brewing, which is no more. I mean, there was so many.
That's that graveyard, you know?
Yeah, so many.
You know, across from Anthony's in West Point, they're getting ready to build a brewery.
We talked about that, I think, last time you were here. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about it. I guess in the old... Was it Capone's or?
Well, no, they're breaking ground. They're going to use that lot immediately across from Anthony's.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, where the parking lot is. Yeah, okay.
Yep. Gotcha. And I'm curious about that. You know, like talking with Jeremy about that, I was like, man, I would love to have a brewery that close, that convenient. But I was like, and I'm sorry for like Debbie Downing here, but I was like, in West Point, I just, will it make it, you know?
Yeah.
And even, like, the smoke shop that used to have, like, would say the best beer selection.
Yes, definitely.
Not anymore.
Really?
I don't know what happened. I went in there this past week. I was like, let me stop in there because they always got great shit.
Yeah.
And maybe it was just an off day. I don't know, but Liquor World here in town, that's where
Yeah. And, I mean, do not go on their DoorDash because they don't have anything that they got on their DoorDash in store. Ugh. It's completely different. But, yeah, I mean, I wanted to, when I first moved here, I wanted to team up with, like, Bo and Elliot and come over here and do a brewery. I thought you get the old depot location, you start Possum Town Brewing, you know. It would have been really cool, but nah. No chance of that. This town wouldn't support it long enough.
Yeah, I don't know that it's an odd thing. And like thinking about Mississippi, with the exception of maybe, what did you say? Maybe Jackson, Biloxi is like, where else is a population that could support this that would be into it? You know?
Yeah.
It's such a unique state. Like, pretty big state. And the cool thing about the populace here is per capita, more people in this state, if you were to ask them, they would tell you one of the first things about themselves is that they identify as an artist. That doesn't happen anywhere else.
Yeah.
Wild. To me. You know, and I've been living over here. I'm Alabama, you know, lived in Alabama most of my life, was born there. I've been in Mississippi for, gosh, 3-4 years now.
Yeah.
And, man, I got me a Mississippi tag on my truck and a Mississippi license, and I'm getting into it and just learning about the state. Because, yeah, I was obsessed with Alabama forever.
Yeah.
Like, I would hate it whenever we would go to, like, a spring break and you get around all the other states and everybody, Alabama.
I know. I lived there for 15 years. Yeah.
I was like, piss off.
Yeah. I was like, Alabama's the shit.
Yeah, Alabama fucking rules, dude.
Yeah. Still, and I've lived a lot of places other than the South. Alabama's my favorite. Tuscaloosa was my favorite 15 years anywhere.
Yeah, dude, if I ever get to move again, like if I leave this area, it ain't going to be far. It's either going to be Tuscaloosa, Birmingham, or Huntsville.
Can't say that.
Can't say that?
No. I'd say Canada.
Oh, you're getting the fuck out.
Yeah. Eventually, yeah.
That'd be
Vermont,
fun.
Connecticut.
Now.
Roundaboutish.
Now, Vermont.
Portland, Oregon.
I've met a lot of people just because of this damn Air Force base here.
Yeah. Know,
we'll get people from all over.
Sure.
And it's just interesting because, they're from all over. And just, man, just asking. Like, hell, if you could go, I don't know what that was.
I don't know if it was a cat outside or something.
Outside or a little child. I'm not sure.
It may be the cat across the road.
But it wants something. But, but yeah, man, that's a question I love to ask people, especially if they're well-traveled, is like, if you could do it again, if you could be anywhere else, like, where would you be? Like, because you get somewhere and, you know, it's the grass is not always greener kind of thing, and you begin to kind of find, well, it's a cool location. They got mountains. There's beaches. Or maybe it's got great culture or whatever is special about that place. But then, man, you begin to find it's like it really doesn't matter where you are or what's there. It's the people.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like, who do you want to be associating with? Who do you want to be surrounded by?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm where I want to be currently because I really enjoy doing what I get to do with these people here.
And I'll say this because I grew up in Columbus, Mississippi. I really will give it its due when they say the friendly city. It is a very friendly city.
How many people shit on that? And I was like, you ain't never spent any time here if you believe that.
I mean, it's a friendly city and I love that.
Yes.
I think politically I don't align with Mississippi, but that doesn't stop me from liking where I live. I don't mind it here. If I was to spend the rest of my life here, I wouldn't be absolutely miserable. You know, I'd be cool with it. But I want to still move around and do some stuff because everything I've done within the South and the East. Mm-hmm. I've never really went out West.
Yeah.
Other than just to, like, visit.
Sure.
So, I mean, I'd like to experience something new. I'd like to go to Missouri for a little while. I don't know. I mean, Wyoming. I have no clue. You know, I just want to check it out.
What's out there? Is there anything there?
Yeah, exactly. Let me see more of the world because I'm not a world traveler. Growing up, we were poor. And I've not had much money since I've been an adult that I could play with until now, you know. And then... growing up, too, my mother lived here. My father lived in Virginia. So I felt like I had to live between the two. So every time I got a chance to vacation, I had to go see my father.
Yeah.
Well, now I don't have either parent. So it's like, the hell you want to do, baby? You know, talking to my wife. It's like, let's go. Let's do something. Let's experience it. Let's go out and check the world out. I've never been to Austin, Texas. Always been a place I wanted to go, you know?
I wanted to see that. I think it's a strange place to me right now, because when I thought about Austin, you know, it would be the same thought I would have about Nashville. I would think music, but you know, ever since, like, with Joe Rogan and a lot of people who have kind of flooded the space, I don't like the identity of Austin is a very curious thing to me.
Yeah,
you have you got Joe Rogan, you got Kill Tony, you got some of the biggest
podcasting
and comedy shows happening right there in Austin, and so many comedians of different levels, or how many years they've been doing it, or maybe they're brand new, they're flooding the zone, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like, and I wouldn't lie for this, but whenever Nashville became the hub for music, it would be the same thing, and you see it in the pawn shops. It's a graveyard of broken dreams. It's people who had to sell their music equipment just to get back to wherever they came from.
Sure.
And it's like, I think Austin is a pretty interesting place right now.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. And that would be one thing that I would like, and I'm trying to get here, is I want to continue to build and create great music experiences. And, you know, I thank God for people like Jamie Nettles and you, and hell, Steve Ellis. I like what he does at the
Sure.
barn.
Yeah.
I don't get to support it as much as I'd like to, but, like, we have great people in this town who love music, who, like, I feel like they have their, you know, their ear to the ground when it comes to good music that you should really know about.
Yeah.
And, I would love to be able to start doing that with comedy. Like, why can't we have good comedy here?
I agree.
And it's first step, and it'll be tough at first, and, you know.
Well, if you lived here and bought a house, you could start what Jamie Nettles does with music in your backyard with comedy.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, exactly. Man, whatever it is, I wouldn't be here if I was completely unhappy. So whatever it is that keeps me here, Jamie Nettles' house, Steve Ellis. And next time you talk to Steve Ellis, tell him to get on Instagram, because I'm not on Facebook. And I never knew that Christina Vane was there. And I love her.
Okay.
Let me make sure that's her name.
He had Gabe Lee.
I don't know.
And I was able to catch. Oh, you'd love him. It's Americana, man. I would put Gabe Lee.
Yeah, Chris Anavane.
I would put Gabe Lee on, like, the same level as, like, a, when it comes to great storytelling in the Americana genre, as a John Prine. And it would be to that level of, he writes songs about the gas station clerk, you know?
Yeah,
But a really great story.
Gotcha.
You know, and for those who deserve it.
Yeah.
Well, dude, how about that? I've loved this. I've enjoyed this.
Yes, it's been fun, dude.
We did it.
Catching up.
We did it in reverse.
I didn't bitch too much, right? Did I?
No. Next time we get together, we're going to bitch the whole time.
There we go.
About the bands we hate.
We got that, man. Let's go for the bands that we should love, but really, really don't.
Yeah, I think we named off quite a few, and I'm going to spend some time.
I don't know if I got much more in. I probably do.
I've got a lot in there. And I'm,
And
it's going to be like modern heyday shit.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'll give this example. Taking Back Sunday. Not a hater. Big fan of that band. Depends on the iteration. Because, man, you talk about the only thing that stays the same, it seems like, from album to album, would be the front man. He couldn't get along with anybody.
Well, that's Maroon 5, too. You know, same thing. As far as Taking Back Sunday, I remember when the first version of Indies Only was around, I played Cute Without the E.
Oh, yeah.
That's as far as I go with that band. That record, I don't know anything after that.
You really don't.
I respect them because they're still around, but I don't know shit about them.
The album after that, A Decade Under the Influence, it's kind of the Nirvana thing.
Yeah.
But it's like a dirt drive to this big house, and there's a a bait like a toddler.
I can see the album cover, yeah.
And it's reaching out toward the house. That's probably one of my favorite records from like that period of time, and whatever you would call that, because every like that just seemed to be like what every music head was. You have to sound this way, because I mean, God, dog, it was like everybody was emo as fuck during that period.
What
was pop?
Yes,
but like that was like quintessential for that era.
Yes. They were the killers of that time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, guys, appreciate y'all listening. Rate, subscribe to the show. You can follow us. Porch Fest is April.
Porch Face. I mean,
do you hear? I got death on two legs on my lips. Got me a little loose.
Porch Fest,
April 11th and 12th. I would love for you to come. It's a great offering. A lot of indie music that I hope you've never heard, but familiar faces that's always there, such as Taylor Hollingsworth. You can find all that on the socials. Follow Porch Talk. There'll be comedy too, so a little bit of that comedy thing I'm trying to do will be there.
Roll Tide
to that. And yeah, man. Let's not be strangers, man. Good to have a beer with you today, brother.
Yes, it was great. Awesome Saturday. Or
I kind of like this.
Sunday
so
morning,
like,
sorry.
With the new schedule, like we used to do it on like Monday, Tuesdays. I think I like the inverse better.
Let's do every Sunday morning.
Hey!
every once a month, Sunday morning. Yeah.
Don't want to burn it too much.
Yeah. we'll burn them out. They won't ever listen to when they see Monk on the radio. Like, oh, no, it's him again. He's drunk. See you.
I got 13 anchors on my boat. I got 13 anchors on my boat. When that shit storm flies, will I throw them over? I got 13 anchors on my boat. Car. I got 14 headlights on my car. When the moon won't rise and them streets are dark, I got 14 headlights on my car. Let my levees break, let my acres flood, blow gaskets out in my 52 Ford. Well, there ain't no finer time than when the sun refuses to shine, 'cause I got my fucking ducks all in a row. In my deck, I got 14 headlights on my car. I got 13 anchors on my boat.
Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning, so you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.